LA County's troubled juvenile detention centers could be shut down by July. That's the recommendation in a new report issued by the state board that oversees California's adult jails and juvenile detention centers. The LA facilities are in crisis. There are frequent lockdowns, fights between the detained youths and the guards, incidents of guards using excessive force, rampant drug use. The problems are compounded by a major staffing shortage at the county's two main facilities, which house nearly 400 young people. The report came just hours after a teenager was found dead of an apparent overdose. Joining me now to discuss all of this is James Quealy. He covers crime for the LA Times. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. Okay, so first let's talk about this 18-year-old who OD'd. What are the details there?
The 18-year-old was found dead early on Monday morning when officers were checking rooms in the secure youth treatment facility inside Barry J. Nydorf Hall in Sylmar. That is the wing of the facility where people either awaiting trial or convicted of serious and violent offenses are held. I've been told by numerous sources, unfortunately, it seems like the 18-year-old was dead for several hours. They tried to use Narcan, which is the nasal spray that's supposed to reverse an opiate overdose, to revive him. It did not work, and he was pronounced dead shortly after. He had only been transferred into that facility from Central about 6 weeks earlier, and I have talked to people who worked with him there who said he did not have a drug issue or had not been struggling with addiction prior to moving over to SYTF, where unfortunately we've had a lot of reports in the past few months of significant increases in drug use.
Oh, wow. And this place, the SYTF Secure Youth Treatment Facility, is for people accused of serious crimes, right?
Yes. What I've been able to find out, he was apparently recently convicted in an attempted murder case, I believe. The probation department hasn't confirmed any of this, though, just to be clear.
Yeah, but you quote people who say he was actually a great kid, a nice, fun kid. He wasn't really addicted to drugs or anything like that.
I've spoke with some people who knew him, who spoke highly of him. You know, they said, yeah, he was very big in the car magazines, was generally, you know, not considered, I guess, a trouble kid in Central or anything like that. And again, you know, SYTF is a very different beast than other parts of the juvenile facility. You know, you're in there with people accused of much more serious crimes than you are in the halls or the camps. You know, reports of lockdowns of people being placed in isolation there have increased. There have been, you know, there's an Inspector General report last month about, you know, overdoses and Percocet laced with fentanyl getting around in the facility. So it's just a much different, you're in a much different situation, and people inside being kept in SYTF just because the conditions are so dreary compared to everywhere else in the system.
Right. Well, how are the drugs getting in there? You have some officers saying that they're actually being dropped in by drone. Is that true?
There are a lot of theories, but if anyone knew, I imagine they might have somewhat slowed the tide by now. You know, the most detail we have from the Office of Inspector General report last month, which is largely probation officials telling OIG investigators that drones are dropping things in or items are being thrown over walls. There are concerns that staff or visitors maybe are bringing things in. One of the concerns raised, I believe, was that youth were calling in fake DoorDash orders, and then someone was showing up, you know, pretending to be a delivery person, and instead of dropping off, you know, McDonald's or whatever they DoorDashed, it was, you know, a package hiding a vape pen or fentanyl or something like that. I don't believe there's any evidence to corroborate any of that at this time. And a number of attorneys representing, you know, juvenile defendants have told me, you know, specifically the drone thing is considered to be an urban legend among a lot of the people who represent juveniles. The department is taking it seriously, though. Not long after this overdose news broke yesterday, the chief strategist Guillermo Villarosa put out a letter announcing a, you know, big step up in security to try to stem the tide of drugs coming in. That included procurement of anti-drone technology. We don't know what that means yet. The department hasn't elaborated.
But the bigger problem, and it's one that you detailed in a big investigation last year, is the staffing shortage, that officers are calling in sick or whatever. They're just calling out, you know, dozens of them every shift. They won't come in because they're too afraid of violence, and they won't even come in with an offer of increased pay. So what's going on? Why are these facilities so dangerous?
So the officers have been for the better part of a year now, saying they've, and data backs this up somewhat, that they are getting assaulted more, that the youth have become more violent. We've seen an uptick in attacks on youth by other youth, in attacks on staff by youth, and in uses of force, or at least we were seeing that last year. The probation department has been less than forthcoming with data since the middle of 2022, which is a problem that needs to be rectified. But it's pretty much a typical situation. Staff are saying they're not coming in because they don't feel safe or they're injured and they're out on leave. This results in there not being enough staff to give youth, recreation time or schooling. So lockdowns are being used more often. And when I talk to kids that are still in custody now, they make a pretty clear point of if I'm locked up all day, I'm going to be probably more wild and more rambunctious when I get out. They think that's leading to, more emotional distress among the kids, thus more fighting among the kids. So it's kind of one causes the other. And yeah, as you had said earlier, the department has now twice put out these like pretty, pricey bonus packages simply for officers to just come to work or put in a little overtime. And a lot of people aren't being responsive to it, in part because that in itself can create a dangerous situation. I hear from officers all the time who are working double shifts, who are working 16 hours straight in one of these halls. And when you're an hour 12 or 13 tired and an emergency happens, bad things are likely to occur. You've got it from people being afraid to people not wanting to come in to work their normal shift out of fear they'll be held over into a double that could put them in a compromising situation. There's frankly too many problems to list, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. But it's pretty shocking, officers with broken bones and bloody noses, and why would they want to come to work?
Two officers were stabbed in the past 2 months,
Wow.
one in the neck.
Wow. And you quoted one officer saying someone's going to die, and I guess maybe he was referring to his fellow officers, but as we saw, a young man, an 18-year-old, died.
Oh, he was referring to the kids as well. I mean, a lot of the officers themselves, some of them have backgrounds having come up through the halls, and like a good amount of these officers really do care about these kids, especially the ones that are still showing up to work, and they're just as horrified by the conditions the kids are facing as, criminal justice advocates themselves.
So there's this report to close down these two facilities, and where will the kids go?
So currently, this is a combination of two things that's happening. The BSCC report, provided that the board approves its staff recommendation, Central and Nydorf will be no longer be able to house youth as of late July. They will now reopen Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall in Downey, which has been shuttered for years, for a combination of reasons. There were some abuse allegations. Also, just it's not that new of a building. That will be reopened, and that will be the primary place that youth are housed. SYTF, however, is not governed by that state board, so that still needs to remain its own facility within Nydorf. I don't know
So
if Los
that'll remain
Padrinos.
open, the one where in which the teenager died?
Yes, the facility where the overdose happened itself will remain open because that is for a quirk in the law that I admittedly do not fully understand. It is not governed by the BSCC. So the state board that otherwise can impact these things cannot actually cause the closure of that facility. And with Governor Newsom, having moved to close the Division of Juvenile Justice, there's not a state facility for those kids to go to.
So they will continue to be housed there in this place. That is dangerous. And
That is dangerous. That has drug overdoses where an 18-year-old died yesterday.
James Queeley covers crime for the LA Times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, the history of the KKK and its power base in Indiana 100 years ago.
I don't ever like to play the Nazi card. I think it ruins all conversation. But it's the historical record that when the Nazis built their own eugenics laws, they claimed that the model was what Indiana had done.
A new book details the rise and fall of the leader of Indiana's KKK chapter and how one woman brought it down. That's next on Press Play.